You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
I just got something rolling around in me that I want to share with you, been meditating on. Exodus 3, turn there with me if you will. I want to talk about serving God, being a servant of God. Let's put it that way. You know, we're friends of God, we're children of God, but we also serve God. Yes. But we don't serve God in the sense or in the way that the world thinks of a servant. I mean, it's totally different than that. We have free will, we choose to do so, and we're not really serving Him with anything we have to offer. We're serving Him with everything He offers us to give back to Him. You have to think about that. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I read this, and I'm going to chop it up greatly. Or maybe I'll actually amplify it and make it even better. But a servant in the world sense is someone who goes out and works very hard to achieve his master's will and offers himself to do that. A servant in God, though, not in the world, is totally different. A servant in God is someone that God sends out with his power and works through him to achieve his will. So when I choose to serve God, I choose to allow him to flow through me. I don't offer him anything other than my availability. I don't offer him anything more than me. All the ability and all the gifts and all the power comes from him.
That's right.
I just happen to be the way he chose to work in the world. I'm the body of Christ. You're the body of Christ. I'm his hands. I'm his mouth. Are you with me? But the words come from him, and the strength comes from him, and the gifts come from him, and the glory goes back to him. Amen? So that puts in a totally different perspective. And when you look at people in the Bible that God used greatly, they had to have this encounter with God. They had to understand that that's the way it worked, because they're always a little nervous when God asked them to do something. They'd always fall back on themselves and realize that they couldn't do what God asked them to do.
Right.
Well, God's not asking you to do something because you're able to do it. He really doesn't need any ability. He's got all the ability in the world. In fact, really, if God asked you to do something and you were able to do it, what would be the point? Anybody could do it. God wouldn't get any glory from anything you could do by yourself. If God, what God's called you to and asked you to do and put in your heart to do, if you can do it without God, it's not evidently that vision is not from God. If it's not bigger than you, then it evidently is not the Lord. Sure is getting quiet in here. Exodus 3. When I think of God calling me to pastor, goodness, I couldn't do that. Are you kidding me? All I did was just show up. And he spoke up through me. And we came, you know, started the church and did all those things and the things that God's called us to do. There's never been anything we could do without him. That's the whole point. Without him, we can do nothing. Jesus said that in John 15:5. He said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. So what we're doing is not our ability, it's his ability. What we're doing is just showing up. What we're doing is being available. He's given us the power and the strength. He's looking to us to just be available to be used by him. I don't know why, but he really wants to use us in the process. He wants us to be a part of the process. He wants to work with us, and he wants to work through us. We are laborers together with God. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3. So we labor with him. We don't labor without him. In fact, really, we rest in him, and he does the work through us as we show up. But if you don't get that concept, it's a tough, tough road to hoe. Amen? You get to looking at yourself. You get to looking at your ability, and you'll get to figuring out that you're not quite up to the task, and you're not without him, and you'll be miserable and frustrated and worried every time he asks you to do anything or call anybody or pray for anybody. You'll start playing that game. God, I can't do that. I just don't have that personality. Hello. You're still going the wrong way. The first thing you got to get over is yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
Exodus 3. Here's Moses. And just to give you a little groundwork here, if you study about Moses' life, Moses at one point did try to help the children of Israel. He actually killed an Egyptian that had beat one of his Hebrew brethren, you know, and whipped them. And he went out and killed him. This is while he was in Pharaoh's court, but he was of the Hebrew nation. So he comes out after that, he did that, and his brethren start making accusations against him. Here's the guy that killed that Egyptian. So he runs and flees. And I think it's interesting that he really tried to deliver, in one sense, Israel in his own strength. You see that? And he was out, goodness, he was out in the wilderness for another 40 years with the hillbilly, Beverly Hillbillies. His father-in-law was Jethro. Okay. That's what it says, Jethro's father-in-law. But when he was 80, now he's 80 years old, and he's wandering around out here keeping these sheep, and he goes to this mountain, third chapter, first verse. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, I told you, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord, I'm going to read quite a bit here, stay with me. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. I love that. I'd like to be burning with the fire of God. The fire of God won't consume you. It actually rejuvenates you. The only thing it burns out of you is sin and ego and all that other stuff. But it says here in the fourth verse, so when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Now this is important, because this is really all God requires of us, is to be available when God calls us. If we'll just say, here I am. Don't start saying, I can't do that. You know, it's amazing when you start arguing with God, like you're going to say something he doesn't already know. Yeah. I remember when God called me to teach, I did that. I played that game. You know, he called me to teach. And I said, God, now I don't even have a high school education, God. Now, I'm working on a construction job as a laborer. I'm the low man on the totem pole. I don't have any money. I don't have any education. Like God did not know that. I just thought he might not have heard. Hello. He actually did not care, because he wasn't looking for someone who was able to teach. He was looking for someone to teach through. Y'all going to get this and shout eventually. See, we go through life when God asks us to do things, and then we immediately look at ourselves. Oh, well, Lord, I can't do that. See, you're still thinking like a servant in the world that is trying to accomplish the will or achieve the will of the master that you're serving by yourself. That's not the way it works in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, God accomplishes his will through people that are willing to be used by him. Amen. And it's not us working for God. It's God working through us.
That's right.
Woo!
Right.
That's better preaching. Y'all already a minute. So it says here, fifth verse, then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. We used to sing that old song. This is holy ground. You're standing on holy ground. Remember that song? Okay, a couple of you are old. Sixth verse, moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. You can rest assured God knows what you're going through. He knows what the world's going through. He hears our cry. So I have come down to deliver them. God always comes down to deliver. He always shows up to deliver. Now notice, the sorrow is not from God. The bondage was not from God. It was something that God looked at as something that needed a remedy. If you're going through sorrow, if you're going through depression, if you're going through oppression, know this, that's not God. In fact, God wants to come down and deliver you from that. There is this idea that everything in life is God, and yet the Bible is very plain it's not. The Bible tells us there's a lot of things going on in life. Sometimes there are things you do. Sometimes the devil does, sometimes God does, sometimes other people do. But with the Bible, we can define who God is and what God does. What's right, what is wrong. Amen? And it appears here that God's a deliverer. Wouldn't you say that?
Yes.
So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, or I often say Perizzites. Because that's what they were doing. They were just parasites on God's land. And the Hivites and the Jebusites. All the sites. He came to deliver them and give over to them a great land, a wonderful land. And God does want to deliver you from oppression, and He wants to place you in a great land. But it's interesting how God does that. If you look at this, you say, okay, God just shows up and delivers them. No, you know, God has chosen to use us when He does things. And He raised up Moses to flow through to deliver them. Isn't that interesting? Well, why didn't God just show up and do it? Because God doesn't do things that way. God loves us so much that He wants to use us in the process. That's why it's so exciting when God calls us to do something. Instead of backing up and saying, oh, I can't do that, we ought to be shouting the victory that God would even ask us to do it and include us in this process. Because we're not going to have to do anything but show up. He's going to move through us. All we got to do is stand up and speak up. He's going to move through. All we got to do is put the hands on the people. He's going to heal through
them. Amen.
Hello. And He chose us to deliver others. I love that. God really does have a purpose for us. And our purpose is to advance the kingdom, wherever it is, whether it's on your job or whether you're in, say, the pastoral ministry, evangelistic ministry, or whether you're just a neighbor or a friend, you know, or a fellow worker. God wants to use you. He hears the cry of the people. He sees the sorrow of people. And what He does is raise up someone to flow through. And that's us. Hallelujah. Tommy's got it. So it says, now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children, ninth verse, of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. You know, he just got through saying, I'm going to deliver them. I have come down. And he says, now come, therefore, I'm sending you. Well, you can imagine the quandary that Moses was in at this point. I mean, not being just terribly over-analytical, but enough sense to realize that in his own self, what? Me? Do what? I mean, he's probably getting a little excited about God coming down and delivering the Egyptians until he says, I'm sending you. Just like us, we get real excited about new ministries until God says, now I want you to do that. Hello. I'm the same way. I mean, I think, oh, yeah, it'd be great to do that. And then God says, well, I want you to do that. I'm thinking, well, no, Lord, I don't want to do that. I just think it needs to be done.
Yeah.
Why don't you have another church to do that? I mean, we got so much on our plate, God, we don't really need to be doing anything else. Hello. Okay. So he says, come now, therefore I will send you to Pharaoh and you that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And of course, Moses is all excited about this. He's just so grateful and thankful that God asked him to do anything. He says to God, 11th verse, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? That's usually the first question we ask. That's usually the wrong question to ask. That's usually the first thing we need to get over ourselves. Really, the answer to that question is we're nobody without Him. And God's not asking us to do this because we're able to do it. He's asking us to do this because He wants to involve us in the process. And He's chosen to use people to bring His will to pass. If He's asked you to do something, He's going to give you the strength to do it. He's not asking you to do it because you're great, because you're special, because you have all that ability. When God called me to teach, He didn't ask me to teach because I was such a great teacher. He didn't pick me out of all those people and says, man, I got to get that guy right there. I mean, that's him. I mean, that's the one right there. He's got everything I need. Are you kidding? I had nothing he needed. Hello. And that was my first response, too, when he called me. I said, what? Me? No, I'm hearing you wrong here. I even told him, I said, back then I talked this way. I said, God, you got the wrong cat, Jack. I remember the conversation I had with him. God wasn't asking me because I could do it. He wasn't asking me because I was able. And he didn't ask Moses because he was able. You think Moses was able to bring plagues upon Egypt? You think Moses was able to turn water to blood? Do you think in the strictest literal sense that Moses actually turned water to blood? No, God did through Moses. Woo! So when Moses said, who am I? That's kind of the question we ask. Well, actually, we're nobody without him. But with Him, praise God, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. See, when I start questioning God's call on my life from the standpoint of, I can't do this, Lord, I could never do that. Well, no, wait a minute. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You're not losing faith in yourself. You're losing faith in God. You're questioning God's ability to use you, to flow through you, to show up in you. Getting quiet in here. That's exactly what Moses did. Moses wasn't just questioning himself. He was questioning God's wisdom, God's choice, God's ability. Man, let's don't question God's ability. If God says we can do it, we can do it. If God says we can have it, we can have it. God says we are something, then we are who God says we are. And it has nothing to do with you without Him. It has everything to do with Him in you, or you with Him. Hallelujah. Or Him with you. 11th verse, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I will certainly be with you. It's God's response. I love that. You think God would call you to something and not show up and not be with you? If He's asked you to do something, He will be with you. If He asks you to serve Him, He'll be with you to serve Him. If He asks you to live holy, He'll be with you to make you and strengthen you and help you live holy. You say, well, I don't know if I have that kind of strength. Ephesians 6:10 says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Everybody say His might. Okay, God didn't say be strong in yourself. He said be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. New way of looking at it, I'm a servant of God. I'm not a servant in the world. I'm a servant that is achieving God's will by the power of God through me. I'm not offering God my work. I'm allowing God to work in me. I'm not offering God my ability, my sharpness, my quick wit, my astuteness, my eloquence, my elocution, and all the other big words I can think of. I'm not offering all that to God. I'm offering myself for Him to use me. Because I know where I was and what I was before I met Him, and I know what I could do before I met Him, and I don't want an encore of that. You know, you can ask Brenda, before I got saved, I hated crowds. I didn't like crowds, get nervous in crowds, didn't like to be around a bunch of people, you know. And of course, the lifestyle that I lived, my memory was not all that good because of the drugs that I did before I got saved. Couldn't remember phone numbers and little things like that. And God called me, saved me, and called me to teach. Now, this made no sense whatsoever. But it's interesting when you think about it, and if you look at it from this standpoint, if God could do something with me and could make a preacher out of me, there's no doubt in anybody's mind that it would be God. And God delights in doing those kinds of things. He really does. So when you've got a task at hand that God's asking you to do, or a mission, or a vision, or a dream, or a ministry, or whatever, and it's impossible in the natural, hey, it's just right for a miracle. It's just right for God to get glory out of. There's no question then that when it's done, that everybody will know it was God moving through you. That's the kind of things God loves to do. And Moses was that kind of guy. He was the kind of guy that, you know, we talk about all the great things he did, but listen, he was 80 years old when God called him and had made a mess of his life and had tried one time to do something for God and it didn't work and ran and hid for 40 years. And weaseled and crawfished and backed out and used every argument he could think of not to do it when God called him. We don't often hear about that. In fact, if you read in Hebrews about Moses, it really praises him and talks about his faith and how great he was. And he did eventually get straight. When he got over himself, he was fine. When he had this encounter with God, and he really began to see that it was God's power that was going to make this happen, that it really didn't have anything to do with him, that all he had to do was show up and open up his mouth and God would flow through him, then everything was okay. But he had to get over that before God could use him. Just like we got to get over it before God can use us. Just like Jeremiah had to go through the same thing. Gideon had to go through the same thing. You remember Gideon, one of the judges, when God called him, it says, hail thou mighty man of valor. Gideon didn't know who he was talking to. He began to talk about how worthless and useless he was, explaining that to God. And of course, God used him for a great deliverance. Jeremiah, the first chapter of Jeremiah, same thing. God calls Jeremiah, and Jeremiah says, oh, I can't speak. I'm just a child. And God says, don't you say you're a child. And it's interesting, he says, you shall say whatever I tell you to say, and you will go to whoever I tell you to go to. In other words, all he was asking Jeremiah to do was repeat what God told him to say. Woo! Good stuff. So, he said, who am I? 12th verse. Basically, God said this, and stay with me on this point. Don't take this real hard, but basically, God said in the 12th verse, in answer to his question, who am I, Lord? Basically, God said, nobody. But I will be with you. And that changes everything. Hello. Because when God's with you, all of a sudden now you're somebody. It didn't have to be Moses. It could have been Jethro. Kind of glad it was Moses. I just, you know, sounds a little better, Moses, than Jethro, delivered the children of Israel. But God just chose him, and he said, certainly I will be with you, 12th verse. What else do you need to know? See, let's get that out of the way right. It's not you, it's him. When God asks you to do something, it's him, not you. It's not you and your power and your ability and your gifts. It's him that's doing it. Hallelujah. That just puts it on a total different plane, totally different level. And that's the way we should look at this thing. When we pray for people, it's not you, it's him. When you lay hands on the sick, it's not you, it's him. That's right. We are the body of Christ. Everybody say body.
Body.
Okay, so what does that mean? That means he's walking in us, and he's using our hands, and he's talking through us. In fact, I think of Paul. Paul said in Galatians 2, verse 20, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Yes. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Man, what a revelation.
Yes.
Paul's walking around here and he says, you know what? I'm not even lying. It's not even me living. It's him living in me. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I do live, but yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And my life, well, the life I live here in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That was the great mystery that Paul talked about in Ephesians and Colossians. The mystery was Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, there's something inside of us, someone inside. There's Christ in us, hallelujah. There's a power in us that never was there before. Now we're born again, we're Christians. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. Now we can do what we could never do before. Because it's actually him in us doing it. Whew. Certainly I'll be with you, is what he said. The 12th verse, and he says, certainly I'll be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Well, he still hadn't told them a whole lot. He just said, I'll be with you, Moses. And when you come out, here will be a great sign. You'll come back to this mountain and serve me. Well, not a lot of details. We're into details, but God didn't give them a whole lot of details. He said, go get them, bring them here, and we'll serve God here, and that'll be a sign. Yeah, God, wait a minute. There's something we hadn't figured out yet. How am I going to get them? Hello. 13th verse. So Moses said, okay. Not yet. Then Moses said to God, indeed. Okay, let's walk this through, God, okay? When I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God says to Moses, I am who I am. This is still not a lot to go on, y'all. Are y'all catching this? I mean, can you imagine you're in this boat, you're Moses, and we all want to be somebody like Moses. You know, we like these heroes and these celebrities, but we don't realize what these people went through. They went through the same thing you and I go through when God calls us to something. I mean, you start crawling, you start looking at yourself, you start thinking of why it can't work, you start thinking about what the people are going to say. I mean, they're not going to respond. They're not going to, are you kidding? Okay, God, you call me, we get that far, and you want me to go do this, fine, but they're not, what if they don't listen to me? You ever had that one? What if nobody joins up with this thing? Whew. All the doubts, all the questions. See, you got to get over all that. If God said it, you can do it. So God tells them, he said, I am that I am. And you know, for sake of time, because I want to get to all the negatives, not miss any of these negatives that Moses came up with, you can read the rest of this and where it talks about the rest of this chapter, that he's going to do this and he's going to stretch out his hand. He's going to do wonders in Egypt. And he says, he's basically telling Moses, you don't have a thing to worry about. I'm going to be there. I'm going to show up and I'm going to make this happen. I just need a voice. I need a mouthpiece. I need an instrument. I need someone to flow through here. And I'm choosing you to flow through. You'd think Moses would be all excited about that. You'd think we'd be excited when God asks us to do things. And if you know, we're not always excited when God calls us to do something. Not always excited when he leads us to go minister to someone or take on a project or whatever. We should be, but we're not because we're looking the wrong way. We're thinking about serving God in a worldly sense. We're thinking about all the work involved and what we have to offer. We're thinking about what we can do, and we come up short when it comes to this task in the natural. We're not thinking in terms of God just wants to do it through us. He just wants to use us to bring it to pass. He wants to involve us in the process. Wow. What an honor. That ought to excite us. But you got to get your faith off yourself and on him. You got to get your trust off of you and on him. Fourth chapter, notice this. Let's skip on down here to the fourth chapter. Then, first verse, then Moses answered, this is the third time now, Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose, just an idea here, God, let's talk this out here. Just suppose, you know, I mean, I like these little counsel sessions we have with God, like God hasn't thought about some things here, you know, and you're going to bring up some new ideas. You know, really, when you meet with God, it's not an idea exchange. I think we kind of have that idea. You know, we're going to go pray, and we're going to bounce some things off God and just see if he considered this or thought about this. And really, it doesn't work that way. We come to God to get advice, not to give advice. We come to God to believe him and trust him, not to tell him how to do what he says he's going to do. That's where we really mess up, incidentally, is when God makes us a promise and says he's going to do something, and then we go in there and tell him how we want it done. Yeah. And if it doesn't work that way, we get all frustrated and lose our faith. Because our faith's not in God and what he said, his word, his promise. Our faith is in a certain way we want it done. You know, I've used this example many times. If you're believing God to bless you financially, don't wear the grass out in front of the front, between the front door and the mailbox. It may not come in the mail. It may come another way. Leave that up to God. Just believe God to take care of you and let him figure out how he wants to do it. God really doesn't need our logistics. He doesn't need us to lay out his the plan or the strategy. He just needs us to trust him and to believe him. That's all. And here's Moses trying to advise God and tell him why he's not a great choice. Then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you. Second verse. So the Lord said to him, what's that in your hand? And you know the story. He has a rod. He tells him to throw it down. It turns into a snake. Well, that's a pretty neat trick. Then he tells him to pick it up, and he picks it up. It becomes a rod in his hand again. Oh, I like that. You know, whatever you have, God can make it work. That's kind of what I get from that, you know. You may think, well, Lord, I just have this, I just have that. That's all right. You put that in the master's hand, and it multiplies when you put it in his hand. In fact, if you'll offer him what you have, he'll make what you have work. He'll do something supernatural with what you have. Woo! So he did that, and he told them, throw this down and turn it into a snake. That'll open up their eyes, and I guess it would. And he told them, put his hand inside his bosom or inside his robe there, and he pulled it out, and it turned white and leprous. He said, put it back in. He did. And he pulled it back out, and it was smooth and clean skin again. He said, try that one on him. And then he said, the ninth verse, "And it shall be, if they do not believe even these two signs or listen to your voice, that you shall take water from the river and pour it on the dry land. The water which you take from the river will become blood on the dry land." Of course, the water turned into blood was one of the plagues. Now think about all these things that took place. Did Moses do all those things? No. God did all those things through Moses. Is God asking you to do something in and of yourself? Of course not. He's asking you to be available for Him to do something through you. "Lord, I couldn't do that. I'm just not that kind of person. I could never do that." Or we'll say, "Well, you know, the apostles maybe did that, but we can't do..." I want to tell you something. The apostles never did any of that. Not in the strictest, literalist sense of doing that. What they did was obey Jesus, and Jesus worked through them. Just like He'll work through us. Just like He said, "Whatever you ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." When you lay hands on the sick and they get healed, you don't heal them. Jesus heals them. Even when Jesus said, "Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils," He wasn't mean that in a literal sense. You don't have the ability to heal or cast out devils or raise the dead. But God does through you. Okay, so you think that would solve all the problems? He gave them all these signs. You know, throw the stick down, put your arm in there, you know, get the water, turn to blood. And 10th verse, 4th chapter. "Then Moses said to the Lord, Oh, my Lord..." He's running out of excuses. He's searching, man. I'm telling you, he's trying to find some way out of this thing. He said, "I'm not eloquent." Okay, we got rid of all that, but Lord, I can't even speak good. I'm from East Texas and have a deep accent. "I'm not eloquent neither before nor since you've spoken to your servant. I wasn't eloquent when I came to this mountain and we've had this conversation. I'm still stuttering." Hello. "Your servant, but I am slow of tongue and slow of speech." Slow of speech, slow of tongue. So the Lord said, this is amazing to me. The Lord said to him, "Who made man's mouth? Who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord?" I don't believe God made them blind and made them deaf, but He made every mute person. He made every deaf person. He made every blind person. Are you with me? He made everybody, whether they're blind, mute, deaf. What He's saying is this: do you think I don't know how you speak? See, there's us arguing again and telling God why we can't do what He said we can do. We're trying to figure out how we can make it happen by our own self, in our own self, and we fall desperately short of getting this thing done. But God's not asking us to do it with our might and our ability. That's a totally different concept. He's asking us to be available to flow through. Woo! God can make something out of us. You know, Jeremiah talked about the 18th chapter of Jeremiah about the potter's house and how the clay comes in. He makes the vessel and it's marred, and he takes it and reshapes it and makes a good vessel in his hand. I heard it said this way, that if you allow God, He'll make something out of you. But you're really useless unless you stay in His hand. Isn't that true? I mean, what if God made a cup out of us? I mean, just molded a perfect cup. What good's a cup if it's not in the hand of the Master? What good are we if we don't stay in His hand? It's His hand that makes us useful. It's His ability that in His might and His power that makes us fruitful and useful. You know, too many times I've seen people come, Bernie and I talked about this, and we're guilty of this too. You know, we'll have a broken marriage, we'll have a broken life, we'll have a financial mess, we'll have sickness and disease. We'll come to God, we'll allow God to heal us and fix us and make us up. And then too many times I've seen this happen, once we get everything fixed up, we leave. And we miss the whole point. God fixes us up for service. He makes something out of us to use us. Woohoo! We don't want to check out now that everything's going good. Everything's going good now, so now we can be used. He's made a cup out of us so we can hold water, carry it to suffering, sighing, dying humanity. That's the case. Hallelujah. So Moses is saying, "Lord, I stutter, I can't speak." And God says, "I think I know that already." And finally, the fifth objection. Everybody say five. Five times Moses objects, opposes this, says he can't do this, whining, moaning, crying. And he says in the 13th verse, but he said, oh, my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. There's no argument left. He's got nothing else to talk about. He just says, God, can you send somebody besides me? And by this time, God's upset. Now, you don't want to get up, God upset. Hello. 14th verse, so the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Why would God be so angry with Moses? Because God is offering him everything he needs to make it. Do you think it angers God or grieves God sometimes when he asks us to do things? And we keep backing up, we keep backing up, and we keep giving all the excuses and all the reasons, and we just can't do this. Lord, I'm just not this, and I'm not that, and I'm not that kind of person. God doesn't even care about all that. God really wants to work with us. Isn't it an honor to be used by God? I think often, you know, when I pray, I think about pastoring a church or whatever the case may be, ministering to someone, helping someone. Someone thanks me for something that blessed them that I did. You know, to me, I think of what an honor it is that God actually used me, that he chose me, because he didn't have to, could have chose anybody. That should be the attitude we have. And I believe Moses got to that point. I think he finally, after this encounter with God, after he got over himself, God began to use him mightily, and he was probably one of the greatest leaders of the Old Testament, no question. An amazing man that God used in some tremendous ways. He was very bold after this. He did some tremendous things. Spent time on the mountain with God 40 days and got the commandments. I mean, struck the rock and water came out of the rock, stretched his rod forth over the Red Sea, and it split, and they crossed by dry land. Some amazing things happened. But, you know, Moses, just like us, had to get over himself. And we got to get over ourselves if we're going to be used by God. We got to see this thing the way it needs to be seen. Oh, we're in Will's Point. We can't do a whole lot. Oh, come on, get over all that. It has nothing to do with the size of the town. We can do great things anywhere. We may be a small town, but we got a big God. Oh, well, I don't have an education. Are you kidding? You think God doesn't know that? If God wants you to do something, you can do it. And quit making all the excuses and start seeing yourself the way God sees you, as a vessel for him to flow through. It's his power. It's his ability. It's his might. He gets all the glory.
That's right.
We just get to be a part of it. Hallelujah. We get to show up. God made this one concession with Moses and told him that he would use his brother Aaron, but he was not going to not use Moses. He said, if that's the way you're going to be about it, you want somebody else, you get your brother Aaron. I am going to speak to you, and you are going to speak to Aaron, and Aaron's going to speak to the Pharaoh. You're still not getting out of this. Hello. I'm still going to speak through you. Woo. Powerful story when you think about it. But it's a whole concept that you and I have to get a hold of, and I think we struggle with this a lot. Anybody ever struggle with the will of God or the God asking you to do things? How many times do you think of your ability and your might? There are so many times that I've ministered to a group or ministered to a convention or maybe going overseas or even here in the church that I feel so inadequate in myself to stand up and share anything that's going to help anybody. But then I remind myself, you know what? It's not me. It's him. In fact, he said it was Psalms 89:10. Is that 89 or 80? 81:10. He said in the Psalms, he said, open thy mouth and I will fill it. And then in Matthew 10:20, remember Jesus said this to the disciples. He said, they will deliver you up for kings and priests. Take no thought for what you say in that hour. It is not you that speaketh. It says, it will be given to you in that very hour what you shall speak. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of my Father which speaketh in you. Isn't that amazing? He told them if they would just be available, God would speak through them. And I mentioned Jeremiah, the great prophet Jeremiah. He told Jeremiah in the very beginning, when he began to crawfish and back out and say, I'm just a child, I can't speak. God said, look, you say whatever I tell you to say. You go wherever I tell you to go. That's all I'm asking. Just obey me. I'll do the rest. You be available. I'll give you the ability. Thank God. So what he's saying is we can do what God says we can do. Amen? And Moses did, obviously, as you know, become a great leader and delivered the children of Israel by the hand of God. So stir yourself. That's the message. Shake yourself. whatever task is at hand, whatever is on your heart to do, whatever it is that you're trying to crawfish, as we say in East Texas, or back up from, don't back up. You stand up and speak up and allow God to use you. It's not what you do for Him. It's what He does through you for Him. Let me say that again. A servant in the world works to achieve his master's will and offers himself to achieve his master's will. A servant in God, this is totally different. A servant in God is someone that God works through to achieve his will. So I'm not really working in this deal. I'm kind of rested. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest, is what Jesus said. Come take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly, and you'll find rest for your souls. Now, was he calling us to do nothing? No, he was calling us to use us greatly, but he was calling us to a rest where he would work through us. That's why it says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That's why it says be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That's why it says we have the victory through Christ, and he always calls us to triumph in Christ, and we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Because this is not us, hallelujah. This is him we're talking about. It's not what we're doing for him. This is what he's doing through us. Man, I'm going to do great things for God. Well, no, God's going to do great things through me. Flip that around. Because you're putting too much weight on yourself and you don't need that kind of pressure because you can't perform under that kind of pressure. But if you put it back on God where it should be, then it's limitless what can be done. God is going to do great things through us. Amen. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us.